Well, this morning's message, Lord, what do you want me to share with this wonderful fellowship? And the title is, don't worry, it ends with good news, Fools and Wise. Because those are opposites, right? Fools and Wise. So all of us know which column we want to be in, correct? So, oh, by the way, because of the water scarcity for these few days, I also want to commend you for coming. I was reminded when I was in elementary school, we used to tell the teacher, I want to go for this or for this. So if you want to go for this, $1, for this, $2. No, just kidding, teasing. Praise God, we have a pool, so after people are done, we can use the pool water. Who cares if that's got little chlorine in it, you know what I mean? But just be, hold it up if you can as much as possible. But if you have to go, we understand. All right, fools and wise. I'm not here, actually this year, April 1st, is Easter Sunday, or Resurrection Day is the correct name for it. But what does the world call April 1st? Come on, you tell me. April Fool's Day, we do tricks and pranks on each other. Right now, Psalm 53 verse 1 and Psalm 14 verse 1, both of them say the same thing. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But let's check in the scripture, and thank you for not walking out because I'm talking about fools. Because we're all wise people here, right? According to the Bible, let's see what kind of people are described as fools. In fact, in the Gospels, 5 times, personally, the Lord Jesus calls certain people fools. Now, we know there's no one like that in Nandi at all. So let's look at those fools, all right? 5 times, the Lord Jesus calls someone fools in the Bible, all right? The first one is the careless fool. Careless fool. Actually, bro, if you can put the scripture, it'll be fantastic. Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Matthew 7, 24 through 27. I'm sure we remember as kids in Sunday school, we sang, the wise man built his house upon the rock. Now, the foolish man built his house upon the sand. And what happened when the rains came? And the house upon the sand fell flat. You don't sing it in Fiji? Yeah. So, this is the careless fool. So, look at verse 26. The Lord says, but everyone who hears these sayings and does not do them will be a fool who built his house on the sand. So, what was the problem with this man? The Lord Jesus is giving us an analogy, a picture. Everybody knows to build a house, unless it's already on solid rock, you dig a foundation. You pour concrete, you put steel or metal rods. And the deeper the foundation, the stronger the house, the more stories or floors you can build. So, if you just go and think you can build a house on the sand with no foundation, you're done for. You don't need a tsunami. You just need some strong winds or a little water. It just moves. Only a fool will build his house without a proper foundation. What is the Lord Jesus saying? A wise man builds his house on the rock. And what is one of the descriptions for the Lord Jesus in the New Testament? He's called the rock of our salvation. Listen to me closely, my friend. Everything you do, from the moment you're born and draw your first breath to the moment you pass away, amounts to absolutely nothing if it's not built on the rock. It doesn't matter how much money I've made, how many degrees I've got behind my name, it is worth absolutely nothing if it's not meant to expand and extend the kingdom of our God and of His Son. Somebody said, and I quote, only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Everything else will just vanish away. Am I building? Now talk about our own lives. I don't care how young you may be or how old. Am I constructing, building my life, everything I do, on the rock which is Christ? Or is it to suit my own purposes, to fulfill my own goals and my own dreams? If so, then I'm a fool. Jesus said so. He said, the foolish man built his house on the sand. This is a type of those of us who say, oh, that man was a fool. Excuse me. We claim to know Jesus. If I asked you, are you born again? Are you saved? Do you know Jesus? Do you love Jesus? We claim to know Jesus, and yet so much of what we do, so much of what we spend our time on and give our life to is built on sand. It needs to be constructed on the rock, and that rock is Christ. These foolish people who build on the sand are those who are self-centered, self-assured. You know, Frank Sinatra, there's no backsliders here, I know. On your BC days, before Christ, one of his famous songs was, I did it my way. You can do it your way, my friend, but when you draw your last breath, you ain't going upstairs. And if you receive Christ with your last breath, you'll make it by the skin of your teeth, but you'll have nothing to show for it. We want to do things. We want to live our lives the Jesus way, not my way. The Jesus way, for his is the only way. The only way. There's no other way, and there's no other name. Hebrews 4:12, under heaven, given among men. Now hear this. 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus said, a foolish man. Whenever I say man, we mean it in a generic sense. God is not a sexist. It's man, woman, boy, girl. Man is just the term we're using, all right? So it applies to everyone. 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus said, the foolish man builds his house on the sand. Now, anybody here works in IT? There you are, Junior, I knew that. So, there you are, bro. What is the basis of all our computer systems and smartphones? That means when people like me were young, Brother Norman, those were dumb phones. Now they're smartphones. You know what? When we had dumb phones, we were smart. Now we've got smartphones, we're dumb. We don't need to know anything. I'll Google it. What is the basis of every computer or smartphone? It's a certain chip. Talk to me. What kind of chip? Silicon chip. Have you heard of Silicon Valley? Where is that? California. That's fake. Bangalore, India is the true Silicon Valley. Seriously. And you go to Silicon Valley, they're mostly Indian IT guys. You can't stop the Indians. They are India's major export. It's okay. I also was born there. They're smart guys with IT. You come to Bangalore, you find out. They've got IT City with a huge toll highway just to go there. So they do the work, send it to California. California gets the name. Now, the basis of every smartphone and computer is the silicon chip. Simple chemistry, middle school chemistry. You're excused, Lydia, because you went to a one-room schoolhouse, Amish. Middle school chemistry. The silicon chip is capital S, small I. Silicon, an atom of silicon. Capital O for an atom of oxygen, subscript 2, SiO2. Silicon dioxide is the chemical name for sand. 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus said, a fool builds his house on Google. The fool builds his house on sand. Oh, you go to Pastor Conan used to work at ANZ Bank. Before that, it was Glorious Bank of Hawaii. How sad that changed. Anyhow, you see my bias towards, you know, that flag. Praise God, we have both flags. You go to the bank tomorrow during work hours. And just suppose, I mean, already we have a WEF shutdown. Suppose there was an FEA problem. How much of your banking you think they can do without power? We're sorry, sir. The power's down. We can't run the systems. Please come back later. The fool built his house on the sand. The whole world today is running on silicon dioxide. Sand, sand, sand. Jesus said 2,000 years ago, a fool will build his house on the sand. But a wise man will build his house on the rock. And who is that rock? Come on, talk to me. Who is that rock? Jesus is the rock. So that's the first kind of fool. We have none of them in Nandi. We know that. Second kind of fool, bro, we need Matthew 23:16-19. The hypocritical fool. The hypocritical fool. These are those who live like Pharisaic, double standard lives. This kind of fool. Jesus says to the Pharisees, woe to you blind guys. I'll just summarize it for you, because in the old King James, some of us might have difficulty. They taught the people that if you swear by the altar in the temple, it's not a big deal. But if you swear by the gold on the altar, now you better keep your word. Jesus says, you fools and blind guides. Do you think the gold sanctifies the altar, or the altar sanctifies the gold? Hello. This is the altar of God. Amen. This is what sanctifies the gold that should go on the offering after this. Have you had the offering yet? No, amen. So make sure. It's sanctified and magnified. Multiplied. This is what sanctifies the gold. The gold, how much money you have in your pocket and how rich you are doesn't make you a holy person. I'm not shouting, I'm just passionate, you know that. Jesus says, you fools and blind guides. He tells the religious leaders, you're a bunch of fools, you're hypocrites. The hypocritical fool, living double lives. These are those, now don't just think of the Pharisees, let's apply it to our lives in the 21st century. These are those who act religious on the outside. But on the inside, we're full of dead men's bones. We play the game. We know how to play church. We know how to say, praise the Lord. Prabhu ki jai. But it's just Christianese. We know how to talk the talk, but not how to live the life and walk the walk. Full of dead men's bones, playing church, but the rest of the week, maybe not living like the devil, but just operating carnally in the flesh. Maybe not living like the devil, but operating and living in the flesh the rest of the week. These are compromisers. I remember we said there are none in Nandi, right? Compromisers. We say we're Christian, but it's only a name. In Hindustani, you say, Nam Kevaste. Who do we think we are fooling? Namesake Christians. Christians in name only. Oh, I go to Living Way Church. I went for the Life Runners. But where were you running on Friday night? Oh, not you. So it doesn't happen in Nandi. Amen. Playing church on Sundays, but compromising and operating in the flesh the rest of the week. We say we are Christian. And here's another proof of the compromising hypocritical Christian, hypocritical fool. Many of us in our own fields, with the gifts that God has given us, have accomplished so much. We're kind of, in a proper sense, proud of what we've achieved. But we take the credit and we do not honor Jesus. When you do not, when I do not give Jesus the credit, then I'm full of myself. You know what people say to me around the world? Pastor Andrew, what a wonderful message. I learned. Hear this, hear this. When people tell me what a wonderful message, Brother Groves, people tell me what a wonderful message, then I know I have failed. He said, what do you mean? When people tell me, Brother Andrew, what a wonderful Jesus, I never saw him like that before, then I know I have succeeded. And if they keep pushing and saying, no, but it was, you know what I'm called to be? Hear me. I tell people this around the world. I'm called to be a faithful donkey. Open your mouth and just let the Holy Spirit speak through you. That's it. You give all the glory, all the honor, all the credit, and all the praise must go to Jesus and to Jesus alone. So when we say, I've done this, oh, come and look at this business. Look at what I've done. Look at my degrees. Look at my certificates hanging all over the wall. And we don't give the credit to Jesus. That's a hypocritical fool. We must give him the credit. What's the use of me quoting scripture, knowing the references, if I'm not living it, if I'm not fleshing it out, if it's not being applied in my life, then I'm just filled with head knowledge. A computer can do that. So we've done the careless fool. Don't worry, we'll finish with a couple of wise people. A little gulab jam at the end. Snack, sweet. We did the hypocritical fool. Third is the sleeping fool. Matthew 25, 1 through 8, Junior. Now, not the sleeping beauty. We have enough of those in church. The sleeping fool. This is the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise. 5 were foolish. Can I just play with the words for a second? You go to India, especially North India, where they speak Hindustani. You say wise virgins, they'll say wise virgins. I know the cultures too well. You go to America with the African Americans, even in Fiji, they say, I asked him. I don't take an axe to me. You asked him, not axed him. No, no, no. Be careful, be careful. Now, so we're talking about the 10 virgins. I can't help it being I love English so much, you know. 5 were wise virgins. 5 were foolish virgins. So Jesus again called them foolish. The Lord Jesus himself said these words. So here are the sleeping fools. Those who we know the language, praise the Lord, but we are not prepared and ready at any instant for Jesus to return. In fact, some of us are so wrapped up in our own lives. Honestly, when I was Lydia's age, she's just not sweet 16, but she's 19. You know what I used to think, sweetie? Lord, please wait till I get married. Come on, it's true. Wait to think. And then when you get married, Lord, please wait till I have a couple of children. And Lord, please wait till I get successful in business. We are more interested in our personal life agenda than in God's timing, plan, will, and purposes for the whole world. Can we say like the 90 plus year old Apostle John, who was exiled on the island of Patmos, Maranatha, even so, come Lord Jesus. Google that song sometime. YouTube. Even so, come Lord Jesus, come. Take your bride away, even so. I said, no, Pastor Andrew, you sing it and be happy in your room, okay? I want to do what I want to do yet. Lord Jesus, come anytime. Anytime you want, you can come. My agenda is nothing compared to you. I'll work till you come, but I need to be ready and prepared in an instant. In a moment, the Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye, the trumpet will sound, and Jesus will come for his bride. But there are so many of us consumed with our own agendas. Not only we are not prepared, we don't want him to come yet. That's worse. Did you hear me? Sleeping fools. These 5 foolish virgins were asleep when they ought to have been alert. You say, Pastor Andrew, no, no. I am ready. Can't you see? I'm pumped. I'm waiting. Excuse me. I'm a disciple. I'm a follower. I've been saved for 20 years. You know the inner circle of Jesus' disciples? There were three of them. Come on, name them to me. Peter, James, and John. The one time, the most intense hour in the life of the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus, when he was in Gethsemane and he went to pray to drink that cup, he asked his closest three, would you stay here and pray? Support me in prayer while I go through this exchange of the sins of the world. They did not know. Support me. There are so many believers whose favorite church, you ask them, you don't have to ask them, the actions tell you. You know the name of that church? It's Church of St. Mattress. That's for the charismatics, Church of St. Mattress. For the fundamentalist Baptists, they have their own church. It's called Bedside Baptist Church. The sleeping fool. Oh, we have the alarm, just put it off. Pastor, I was so tired, Pastor. It's such a busy weekend. Busy doing what? Watching Shah Rukh Khan and his garbage? That's a famous Indian actor. Watching that trash? So busy? And we don't have the time. I was so busy on that. This is really the dumb phone. On that dumb phone? Up so late? I know you can't get up to come and worship the living God in the corporate setting? And fellowship with the people of God? The three closest inner circle disciples fell asleep when Jesus most earnestly needed someone to back him in prayer. So let us not be like the five foolish virgins who were asleep when they ought to have been awake. These are the, don't walk out on me, please. We don't have any in Andy. So just, these are the lazy followers of Christ. They are self-absorbed, underachieving. Have you heard of The Simpsons? Bart Simpson, that TV show? How sad if you've even watched one episode of it. I've only heard of them. I have never, never's a very strong word. I have never watched it. But I saw one cartoon picture of a clown. That's the worst bad word I use. Clown. Supposedly named Bart Simpson. He had a t-shirt on. You know what it said? I'm sure every one of us would like our sons and daughters to follow this example. Underachiever and proud of it. Did you hear what I just said? Bart Simpson showing the world underachiever and proud of it. If we allow our children to watch that trash and nonsense, our children are not the fools, we are the greater fools. Can I have an amen? Half-hearted, not so loud. These are the lazy followers of Christ, self-absorbed, underachievers, pew warmers. What's that mean? Pew is the old church word for those benches they used to have in those, you know, the old mainline churches. Now we have chairs. So we say chair warmers. You know what I challenge the churches around the world? Get off your chair and do something for God. Why are there only 1/5 of this church involved with Life Runners? How many of us are involved in small groups, cell groups, what do you call them, pocket groups, cell groups? How many of us? No, we're just Sunday go to meeting chair warming Christians. I use a certain part of my anatomy to warm the chair. And I've done my duty for the week. pew warmers, chair warmers. You know, it has been said that in life, there are three kinds of people. Thank you, I'm seeing some smiles. It's coming down slowly. Three kinds of people in life. And I could also apply it in the church. Those who make things happen. Second type, have you ever watched table tennis? You know, people playing table tennis? You watch the person watching them playing. It's really funny. So there's three kinds of people. Those who make things happen. Those who watch things happen. And those who say, what happened? What happened? I don't know what you're talking about. Which category am I in? You know, when it comes to the devil and expanding the kingdom of God, it's time we got off those chairs and kick butt. Get out, devil. Move out of the way. I'm going to do what God called and created me and his purposes on this earth for my life. Until that trumpet sounds, I'll be working for Jesus. We don't want to be caught in the last two categories. You ever been to India? They have been, both. Been. Watch this. You talk to them. No, no, tell me what you feel. So my own niece did that to me. I said, stop, Isabel, stop. Look at me. What does this mean? Yes, uncle. What does this mean? No, uncle. What does this mean? Okay, uncle. In Fiji, you have your own way. Every culture has their own tricks. Come on. Get off your chair. Do something before you leave today. Pastor Collins, Sister Bowie, I'm going to get involved. Young people, get involved with the youth. Get involved with the worship team. Come on. Get into a small group. I want to grow in God. I want my life to count. No place for lazy bones in the kingdom of God. Amen? Thank you for not leaving. You know, Pastor Andrew doesn't preach softly and tenderly, right? Hallelujah. Yeah, and if nothing, you know, let me give Emmeline, I'm going to call her by name. I make sure I shake that lady's hand or give her a side hug. She's blind. Every time I come, I have an auntie who was blind from the age of 3. The doctor put acid in her eyeballs instead of eye drops. She's gone to be with Jesus now. They just heard the story yesterday. You know what Emmeline can do? She can still pray. Nobody can say, I cannot do anything. Oh, but pastor, that's why you are the pastor. You have a paycheck, so you have to pray for us. Excuse me. Get off your chair. Get on your knees and pray for yourself. You know what James chapter 5 says? Do you know what James chapter 5 says? Hear this, it'll rock you. James, we like this, you know, call for the elders of the church. If you're sick, they'll anoint you with oil. Thank you, Brother Norman is smiling. He's liking this. You listen, you read it carefully, James chapter 5. He says, is any among you sick? Let him pray. If that doesn't do the job, then you call for the elders. So I know this pastor in the U.S. He said, my congregation member called me, pastor, please pray for me. What's the matter? I'm not well. Have you prayed for yourself? No, then I'm not praying for you. The Bible says you must first pray for yourself. Oh, but the pastors that pray for me. Excuse me, you had to pray to get saved. Hello? Did he pray for you to get saved? I mean, he can pray for you, but we need to get up and pray for ourselves. Stop being lazy-bone Christians. Thank you for staying after that point. Number 4 is so we did the careless fool, the hypocritical fool, the sleeping fool, not sleeping beauty, that we have enough. Number 4, the materialistic fool, and it's funny you mentioned that in your testimony, Danette. The materialistic fool, Luke 12, 16 through 20. Luke 12, 16, it's fantastic to have this put up on the screen. This way you don't have to look at your dumb phone and look at your Facebook account. Pretend like you're checking the scripture. Who do you think you're fooling? Talking about fools and you're still fooling yourself. Hello? The materialistic fool. This is those who live for this world. In fact, of the five fools, I'm on number four. This is the fool that God called me one time. It's not because I'm a rich man, but one time he called me a fool. Have you ever been called a fool in your heart by God? Oh, you're too saintly. You don't get called a fool. Only we get called fools. This man was a very rich farmer. His barns were full of crops. He had bumper crop, nice rains. He said, what shall I do? I will break down my barns. I'll build bigger barns. I'll have so much of food for a couple of years to come. And in Hindustani, we say, maja karo. I'll have a great time. Aram bhaiyo. Easy. Relax. Rest. Money is rolling in. That's not why God called me a fool, but he took me to the scripture. And while he's relaxing, God said to him, you fool. You fool. Tonight your soul will be required of you. You know, when God spoke to me with this word, and I said, God, I had lost my wife, and I had Luke at 13 years of age, and I went to Brisbane, like I from here I go to Brisbane. It was this time of year. And my sister really fed me up all the gulab jams and all the sweets and every, and I was picking out, stupid, in ignorance. One night, I woke up. I felt my body was going up, high blood pressure. So not because of pots of money. My sister was feeling sorry for me. She was trying to fatten me up and killing me with it. She wasn't trying to kill me. I was foolish. I got up and started doing sit-ups at 2 a.m. in the morning. I said, cut the sweets. I was sitting in the jumbo jet to go back to America. Next to me was my son. And God spoke to me before the plane could take off. You fool. I've called you to ministry. You have a 13-year young son. Because of this high blood pressure which you knew about, if you get a stroke, do you want your 13-year-old son to be pushing you around in a wheelchair the rest of your life? In that seatbelt, I said, my God, I repent. Give me one more chance. Immediately, I made drastic changes to my lifestyle. Because I was acting like a fool. I knew the word of God. I was preaching it every Sunday just like I do now. This man thought, I've got it made. I've got pots of cash in the bank. God says, you fool. The rich man, tonight your soul will be required of you. So be careful if we become consumed by the wealth and riches of this world. Let me ask you, here's a test question. What am I most worried about? My house, if there's a flood? My car, if there's an accident? My dumb phone, if it gets stolen? Come on. What am I most worried about? Or am I most concerned about my lack of intimacy in my walk with Jesus? That's a test question for every one of us this morning. My husband, my wife, my children, my job, my business? Or am I most concerned about the lack of intimacy in my life every year? And Sister Dinette would come to find this out. She works on our missions team. They send all the missionaries, or ministers, Pastor Sam covers that, the minister's annual report. What is it you desire most? I don't know when last I changed. I said, I want a more intimate relationship with my Jesus. Nothing else matters. Jesus, you've got to be the center of it all. What do you want the most? I want to be more like Jesus. So many of us with materialism, I'll build more, I'll get more, I'll buy more, I'll have a better car, a bigger house. It's my kingdom come. My will be done. And we know what the Lord Jesus taught his disciples to pray.
Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done.
That's the materialistic fool. The fifth fool is the unbelieving fool. You say, this cannot apply to me, I'm a believer. Luke 24 verse 25. Luke 24 verse 25. The last chapter of Luke's gospel. Two men are walking down the road to Emmaus. You might say Emmaus. The road to Emmaus. This is after the resurrection. They don't know. And Jesus joins them. And he talks with them. And he says, so what's going on? And they said, don't you know why you were stranger in these parts? Come on. This Jesus of Nazareth, he was a good man. And they crucified him. Listen to this. They are walking. We tell people, how's your walk with the Lord? Don't we use that expression? How is your walk with the Lord? They are literally, physically walking with Jesus. But somehow, they couldn't look upon his face. Am I guilty of that many times in my life? I want to take you to a song we need to sing every so often.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
What's the next line?
Look full in his wonderful face.
When you do that, you know what happens?
And the things,
my husband, my wife, my children, my business, my job, my bank account, my car, my house,
and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
You know what the problem with many believers, and especially most charismatics around the world? We talk about money, wealth, prosperity.
Money, money, money must be funny.
Have you heard of ABBA? Yeah. Fiddle on the Roof. Sweetie, you gotta watch that.
If I were a rich man, yabba dabba 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 doom.
Money, 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 money. Consumed with money. Consumed with money.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
The things of earth. So many charismatic believers, it's all about money. Believe God. 60, 100, I understand if we're faithful, God will bless and he wants to prosper us. But the focus has become money. I'll prove it to you how. They're looking at his hand. Because this is where you get the handouts. So they're looking for heavenly handouts. And they say, is my Jehovah Jireh? Of course he's our provider. But that's what they focus on. Listen to me. Stop looking at his hand. Look at his face. If you kept relating and talking with me just because you're eyeing my wallet half the time, not wanting a genuine relationship. You know those kind of believers? I'll tell you their name. My name is Jimmy. Gimme, gimme, gimme. That's all they want out of Jesus. He's their ATM machine for withdrawals. How would you like it, Pastor, if your son or daughter just came for money all the time? Look at his wonderful face. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Jehovah Jireh. You know what's my favorite title for God? Would you like to know? Free of charge. It's Jehovah Shammah. That means the Lord is there. Moses said to God, if you don't go with me, I'm not moving. As long as you're with me, I'll go anywhere you take me. Anywhere you take me. Let your presence go with me. Stop seeking his hand. Seek his face. So much for all those TV programs. Money, 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 money. The unbelieving fool. Those who do not believe in his promises. And Jesus is walking with them. They're still telling him, don't you know? And then he's just, he can't believe it. He says, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. They're walking with him and he calls them fools. May you and I not be counted in that group, my friend. Yes, we want to walk with him, but may we look in his wonderful face and it'll change us. Keep changing us from the inside out. The more you look in his face, you won't even be able to stand on your feet. You will be prostrate on your face before him. There's no place for pride in his presence. There's no place for pride in the presence of Jesus. We have known about Christ. We know who he is. We know what he can do. Yet so many times we doubt his word and disbelieve what he can do for us. You know what we're guilty of doing? We're hearing the word, but not listening. Listen, let it sink, act on it. Now I've got to go to something positive before we wrap up, okay? We've seen five fools. Very quickly, apart from the Psalm 14:1 and Psalm 53:1, the atheist, the fool has said in his heart there's no God. There's a few other fools in the scripture, but these five are the ones Jesus called fools. So I'll just tell you the references and you can run with that, okay? Proverbs 28:26. He who puts trust in his own heart, that's arrogant, cocky. Bible says in Proverbs he's a fool. Proverbs 12:15. He who is always right in his own eyes. Hey, you know anyone, Mr. Know-it-all? Smart Alec? Got all the answers? Bible says he's a fool. Third, Proverbs 1:7. He who despises wisdom and instruction, a scorner, the Bible says is a fool. Five, Proverbs 4, Ecclesiastes 7:9. He who is soon angry, short-tempered, quick to lose their temper, has a short fuse, the Bible says is a fool. Five, Proverbs 10:18. He who slanders others. You know anyone who's a gossip, a false accuser? The Bible says such a person is a fool. Six, Proverbs 14:9. He who mocks at sin. This is a defiant person, a scoffer, mocks at sin. Ha! I'd rather go to hell. All my friends are there anyway. Dude, you'll get what you deserve. It'll have it coming to you. Fool. Seven, Proverbs 29:11. Not Jeremiah 29:11. Proverbs 29:11. He who talks a lot, a blabbermouth, you know, someone who's full of hot air. You left, all you heard was them babble on and you got nothing out of it. Fool. Eight, Proverbs 20 verse 3, 26 verse 17. He who minds other people's business. Do you know anyone like that? Poking their nose in other people's affairs? Busybody? In Australia they call them sticky beak. Poking their nose. Nosy Parker. Fool, the Bible says. Now I end with the good news. Here comes the gulab jam and rasgulla. Amen? Amen? What's the opposite of a fool? A person who is? Very quickly, just like we did these other fools, let's see what the Bible says is wise. Matthew chapter 2 verse 1. Wise men came to see Jesus. Here's the statement. Wise men and women, boys and girls, still seek him. Are you seeking after him? Are you seeking after him? Can I have an amen? You know what it means to seek after him? Chase after him? Remember we sing that chorus? Now listen to some words that I feel the Holy Spirit gave me 2 years ago. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. But I spend 5 minutes in my Bible and 3 hours watching TV. For you alone, you're my strength, my shield. To mainstream media, my mind does yield. You alone are my heart's desire and my mind's
in the trash heap.
You know that CNN stands for Corrupt News Network, right? And about movies, think about it. Why would you ever name your son Brad only to find him end up in the pits? Wise men still seek him. Matthew 7:24, Jesus says the wise man built his house upon the rock, not on the silicon chip. Amen. On the rock. Next, Matthew 25:4. Five of the ten were wise virgins, as they did have enough oil in their lamps. And oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. So if you don't want to miss out when the bridegroom returns for his bride, Ephesians says, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Be an open conduit. So the Spirit of God is continually flowing through you. Next one, Proverbs 9:8. Reprove a scorner, he will rebuke you. Now, before I say the rest of this verse, listen to me. How many of us like to receive correction? Who likes to be corrected and told that we had messed up or we need to change? Thank you. Few hands. Most of us get upset. They think no better than me. Listen to what the Word of God says. I'll read it again. Proverbs, you have it up there? It doesn't matter. I'll say it again. Proverbs 29:8. Reprove a scorner, he will hate you. But correct a wise man, he will love you. If you correct a wise man, he will love you. Are you ready? Are you ready? I'm almost at the end. Don't leave yet. What happens if your pastor comes to you and shares something personally, one-on-one, that he has a real concern about in your life? You know what we want to do? Oh, but you don't have people like that in Nandi. They just want to leave the church. Who does he think he is? Doesn't he know that I put my tithes here? He better do as I tell him. The Bible says, a mocker, a scorner, a fool will reject instruction. But a wise person gladly receives. Thank you, Pastor Connor. I didn't see that issue in my life. Do you know if you drive a car, you have blind spots? Certain spots where you cannot see what's around you. Who here has no blind spot in their life? Everyone has blind spots. You know what I used to share with my pastor Sam? His name is up there. He's now retired. When we would meet each year, at the end of our conversation, I would say, Pastor Sam, please tell me if there's something in my life I need to make changes. Hello, how about you practicing that with your pastor? Be ready for a wallop, though. You might get it. Be prepared. A wise person will receive instruction. You know what Pastor Sam finally told me one year? I said, there's something in my life I need to change. He said, just a moment, let me pull out the full file. That was very cool. I like that. Make yourself voluntarily accountable to your pastors, to your boss at work, to your teacher, whoever it is, your prophet, university, your boss, whoever. Make yourself accountable. They will genuinely appreciate that. That will bring you promotion. That's a wise person. A wise person will receive instruction. He will love you. He will thank you for it. Now, the next two younger people, hear me. There's only three verses left. Proverbs 13:1. And then I'll be reading Proverbs 15:20. A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scorner will not listen to correction. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Young people, you have no idea how much your parents have cried tears and wept and prayed for you. Oh God, you bring a supernatural touch to my son or my daughter. Let them experience your love in such a way that they will be completely sold out to you. Dad and mom, don't waste your time praying for your son or daughter to get a nice job or husband. God, just set them on fire. You know, I can see this publicly. I can see that Junior loves Jesus. Now they can pray for other things. But first, God, get a hold of my daughter, my son's life. Then the other thing, seek first the kingdom. Pray. Young people, you have no idea how much your parents have cried and prayed and have got calloused knees kneeling down praying for you. You know what? Let God touch your life in such a way today that today, from this day forward, they will weep tears of joy instead. Let them weep tears of joy instead. And the last scripture, Daniel 12:3. The Bible says, whoever wins souls is wise and will shine like the stars in the heavens. How long have you and I been saved? 10 years, 15 years, 20 years? How many souls have we brought to Calvary's cross? The Word of God says if we win souls, we are wise and we will shine like the stars in the heavens. You know about Billy Graham, the amazing, famous evangelist? How many tens of thousands have been come to Christ through his crusades? I wondered, Lord, in our crown, we get crowns in heaven. I don't have time to go into that. Each star in the crown or jewel will represent like a soul we brought to Christ. Can you imagine Billy Graham's crown? It'll be multi-tiered crown going who knows how high with all the souls he's led to Christ. How many stars will there be in your crown and my crown? That's a truly wise person, Pastor Beck.